Welcome back to the Heartland Pod. My name is Adam Summer, and I am, well, today I'm just your intro. I'm not really the host today. This is the Heartland Pod for June 30th, 2022, the last one for the month of June. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you are here. This is a first time for this type of show. Let me explain what that means. So if you listen to The Delta with Nicholas Linke and Christina Linke, then you've become familiar with them. Christina joined Nicholas a few months ago more regularly, and she has a real knack for the microphone. And so she's done a Let's Have a Chat. Christina sat down with a fellow Columbia educator, Donovan James, and Donovan has an awesome story and just a lot of insight to share regarding education. And so the two of them have an interesting chat, a really lively chat. It's, you know, we were looking at maybe splitting it up into two parts, and I was going through it, and I was like, it's a really lively chat. I think it's a lot of fun, so I hope you enjoy it. I know I did getting to listen back to it, so that's what's coming up here just on the other side of a couple of quick reminders. Reminder, you can find all of our shows at heartlandpod.com, and you can find a link to our Patreon there. And a link to all of our shows there as well. We are on all the major platforms, so if you're trying to share this with somebody, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, and by the time you're listening to this, we should be live on Amazon, in fact, and Audible. If not, it'll be within the next day or so. So you should be able to say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Heartland Pod," and we should pop right up. I think that's going to be pretty sweet. Massive thank you to all of you who went and gave ratings on iTunes. I think we were at like 49 and it went to 48. Somebody removed a rating, which we appreciate. And then it went up to 61. The 2-star went away. It looks like it came back as a 5-star, which thank you very, very much. And thank you for listening and the comments and everything. And I hope that everything is coming through well for folks. And one of the comment read that sometimes I go too fast. And so let me give the email here for you so that it's do it slowly. HeartlandPod2020@gmail.com. HeartlandPod2020@gmail.com. And it's the numbers 2020. So I hope to hear from folks. We love getting emails over there. So keep them coming. Keep listening. Keep the ratings going. Make sure you tell folks who listen that, you know, hey, make sure you rate it. It's going to help us jump up the charts, which helps us get noticed. It helps us, you know, everything, right? We just grow this whole thing. And if you're listening on the Thursday for the chat, then you get to know first before anybody else that June was yet again a record month. We had a brand new threshold and a new record month in May, and we broke it in June with 2 days left to spare. So it's going to be another record month as we head into July. And that's because of you guys. That is all you folks. We can make all the shows we want to make, but if folks aren't out there listening and sharing it, it's sharing it with your friends. It's telling folks to listen to it. And we really appreciate that. We appreciate the support as we try to change the conversation. All right, let's get to the episode here with Christina Linke having a chat with Donovan James.
Let's have a chat.
Okay, so I've had the pleasure of working with Miss Donovan James, a kindergarten teacher in Missouri. But actually, I'm going to let you give a little bit of information about your unique background and how you came into education.
Yes. So I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas. And I went to Stevens College, where I graduated from in Columbia, Missouri. And I started teaching at a multi-age elementary school at the Stevens College Lab School, where there were kindergarten through fifth grade all in one room, and there were like three teachers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many students all together?
Between like, I guess like 30-ish. And our biggest like group of kids was like K1, K2.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like dwindled out towards like fifth grade. We're always a lot of fifth graders. And like 1 year we didn't have any fifth graders.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So it's like their lab school and the college students use it. And yeah, it's really cool. So I did that for 4 years. And then I went into public school and taught
kindergarten. Was there a huge contrast or Not really.
I guess there we wrote our own curriculum. Like, of course, we had resources that we used.
Of course.
But it was kind of like we decided what we were going to teach. So if we wanted it, we're going to do, what did we learn about? Like, biomes.
Right.
Like, it wasn't things like we had to, like, in public school, like, you have a line and, like, there's things you have to teach throughout the year.
Right.
But there we didn't have that. We could just, like, plan out the year. Like, we want to talk about this year or that this year. And
that's really cool.
The social studies and science was more inquiry based. So, like, asking a question and, like, letting the kids go do research, and then they created things like at the end.
That's
and sometimes
awesome.
We had families come, and it was kind of like they really guided our teaching, which is kind of what I brought to the kindergarten classroom, because some of the times I'm like, well, let's see what they think by still hitting the curriculum marks or what I needed to teach. But
is that kind of like it's Montessori type? Learning. I mean,
like
I know Montessori you have.
Like more constructivist, hands-on experiences.
Okay.
The difference is, though, that my students, I had all white students.
Okay. So did you want to leave there for diversity?
For a lot of different reasons. But
right.
Diversity was definitely one. And like just having students that look like me was a big... I've always wanted that.
Of course.
And so... That was a reason. And then, so it was very interesting, but it was really cool. It was a really cool program. Kids were grouped by their ability rather than just like their grade. So I could have a first grader doing first grade reading, but maybe they're doing third grade math. So they get to do third grade math.
That's awesome.
But it's still like in their space. Like you're not removing them or like someone else. Like they get to go and just kind of
like pull out, push in type.
Yeah. So they got to just kind of be where they needed to be. So it was really cool. I had an awesome team of teachers that I worked with, Lindsay and Hannah, and it was like really cool. It was really cool.
So you took the parts that you liked out of that program.
Yeah,
and
just kind
of
like that's what I believed in. Like kids should be learning like hands on, real world. You know, they should be leading what you're teaching.
That is real world application.
Yeah,
like I think that's so important.
Yeah, and bringing those concepts into my kindergarten classroom, where even though I have, you know, parts of the year where I have to teach this and that and that. Yeah, that's cool. But here are some other things we can pull into those other topics.
Right. And I think it's also important at a young age to, there might be kids who are not extremely excited about art.
Yeah.
But if you get to them early, mm-hmm. I mean, but if you start at a young age, they will realize I can mess up. I can be wrong.
And it's okay. Yeah.
But it's okay. Yeah. And I could still create.
Yeah.
And this is cool. And they can start at a young age liking it. Cause I can remember being in high school and I'm like, I don't want to do a group project.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything. Like, I don't want to be
projects.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So but I feel like if I would have started younger and people would have fostered that inside of me, like it would have been really helpful growing up.
Yeah.
So
that's that. And then 3 years of kindergarten.
I was talking to Nicholas about the Queendom, and I said, well, it's really cool because you walk in and you always put the little crown over your name.
Yes.
And so all the kids by the end of the year, they've all done it.
Yes.
And then I don't remember when it was. I think it was during summer school, and you said, well, I'm the queen.
Yep.
And one of the kids was like,
no you're not.
You're
yes,
like, hold
I am.
On, let me ask him. Am I the queen?
Yep.
Yes. I'm like, what?
I have proof. Yes.
So do you want to explain a little bit about what the Queendom is to you and what you want it to be for
yes.
kids? Yes.
I do believe that I am a queen. a queen of something. The queen. And so I've just always... My parents treat me like I'm royalty, so I've just kind of gone with it.
That's where it starts.
It. Like,
yeah,
starts at home.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anytime I, like, write my name, I, like, put a crown on it. So it is interesting. I started it when I first started teaching, and at the end of every year, all my kids are putting crowns on their names, which
so
is
awesome.
Really cool. So, but the Queendom is a place for my students to feel royal, too, like, as I do, and a place for them to just, you know, rule the classroom.
Be who they are.
Be who they are.
And that's what I really like about your classroom is you're so inclusive. When we work together, I tell people I am in the most inclusive, diverse classroom, more so than I have ever been in my entire life. And I will never have something like this again.
Yeah.
There were tons of refugees and people from all over. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was so amazing that you welcomed each and everyone in. It's just such a cool experience that I know, like, the bar has been set very high now. And I'm like, well, this is, should I just quit and retire now?
I know. My mom was saying the same thing about how, like, our kids, like, they just expect things. So I was telling her, like, summer school, how a few of our friends were like, it was like a Rice Krispie treats.
Right.
And they're like, these are small. And I'm like, well, I guess they're used to, like, having big ones. Or, like, right. Why aren't we having two snacks? Or having access to plastic baggies, like, even the Ziploc bags. Like, do you have plastic bags here? And I was like, oh, no, I don't have any. And they were just, like, so disappointed. And so my mom talks about, like, how when they go to their next teacher, they're going to have all these high expectations. And their teacher will be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like,
I also realize how easy it is. Because I am... I don't want to say just an interpreter. I was your sidekick.
My sidekick. You know?
And it was really cool. It's cool to have the outside perspective of the kids and how they interact with mm-hmm. other adults. And they are so much more willing to ask you mm-hmm. questions.
Yeah.
I mean, even for things like bags or an extra snack mm-hmm. or, you know, they know that they can ask you and they're not going to immediately get shot down.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always notice that with you, how much more open and, I mean, your kids can sometimes act like they're a little bit more wild, I feel yes. like, but I just think that that's how they just know that they can be.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yes, for sure. And I've heard other teachers, like specialist teachers, talk about that. Like the music teacher saying, like, your class not afraid. Like, you can tell what you teach in your classroom because your kids aren't afraid to speak up. Or aren't afraid to say things in the classroom.
Well, your affirmation in the morning, how does it go?
Like, I am powerful. I bring peace. I can listen. I am a friend. I speak up.
I speak up. Yeah, yeah.
I can do anything. I am kindergarten royalty. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. our affirmation.
And that's great. And that's every morning. I mean, I missed it sometimes, but yeah. Did you say it every morning?
Yeah, we try to do it every morning. Great. And then eventually, they're like, well, can I do it? Can I lead it? Because we echo it.
Yeah.
And so eventually it becomes their thing to lead. And it's really cool because you can reference that back at the, like, when someone's not doing, like, hey, aren't you going to be a listener today?
Right.
You know, can't you be a friend? You need to speak up.
Right. You guys are arguing about something. Speak up.
Yeah.
Tell them what you feel.
Say something. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I said that around the time, maybe before, I do not remember, mm-hmm. when your article in Teach for America
yeah.
came out.
Yeah.
And I said, how important is it, you know, that either you teach the content, mm. but you don't teach them any other skills mm-hmm. or confidence or anything like that, versus more, it's more about yourself yeah. and who you are as a person mm-hmm. and kind of things that you need to know.
Right.
So it's like teaching them accounting instead of, you know.
Yeah.
When they get older, you know, you
right.
need to learn how to balance a checkbook and figure out a loan and all that stuff. And, you know, you're just taught this is how you're supposed to learn it. This is what you need mm-hmm. to know. All the formulas. You
right.
must learn it this way. That's not how people learn.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And so I just think, like, especially with, like, kindergarten. I mean, I know some kids go to preschool, but not a lot of them do.
Yeah. No.
And so kindergarten's kind of like their first, like, hey, like, my parents aren't here. Like, no one. It's just them. And then they're amongst all these other kids, and then there's other adults. And, like, it's easy to just, like, okay, we're going to learn math today, and this is what we're going to learn, and we're going to do this today. But if I don't teach them the skills, then, like, what kind of people will they be? Like, yes, they're
right.
students, but they're also, like, little people that eventually will become, yeah. like, they'll have jobs.
Human beings.
Yes.
Like, real
and so, like,
being.
When you just kind of ignore that and want them to, like, okay, well, you're supposed to do this, you need to sit like this, you need to do that, and there are times for that. But then there's also times like, let's take the time to talk about, like, how we talk to people. Like,
I just remember when Bryson was in kindergarten and he had to go through all the testing,
mm-hmm.
They said, you know, he didn't really sit down for the testing. Like, he wandered around or whatever, but I let him because I could tell he was still paying attention.
Yeah.
And some kids, you can't just say, you sit there, you do your job. Oh, that we're not going to move on until we do.
Yeah, because some kids are concentrating more on sitting down.
Right.
Than anything else, because they can't
right.
focus. Like, you can kind of see it in their face. They're like,
This is so hard.
I have to sit down. I'm not listening to anything she says because I have to. And I get it because I sit in meetings sometimes and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
right.
I really want to go do something else.
Or, right. And that's why Nicholas, he said, he even looks back and he's like, man, my first 3 years of teaching, I was terrible because I was like lecture. And then I went back to grad school. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And then he came back and he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And it was more hands on. And I think that's so important. It's not just these are all the rules. Yeah. Right. You set the expectations up. But if you're not willing to be a little bit compromising, it's like, are you just making little robots, you know?
Yeah. And I think nobody some wants teachers that. Think that classroom management is just that, like them doing what you say.
Right.
Like coming in, like sitting on the carpet or like, I remember like being observed and being so nervous, like being observed by admin, like, okay, y'all better make sure like you sit down. And, but I think also the good thing was that we didn't get to schedule those observations. So they were just like, this year we had a principal come and observe us and we were having a wedding with Q and U. Like, you know, like.
Right.
And that's what it should look like.
Cool because I did hear some of the feedback they gave you and they were like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, this was great.
Right. And so it's just, sometimes you want it to be like, okay, you need to sit here, you need to do this, but that's not all classroom management is.
I just love that you teach them confidence so much more beyond what that curriculum is.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain a little bit about what your article that you wrote for Teach for America involved?
Yeah. So it's just talking about like how everything's being banned, like the books and what you teach and how we're teaching. And just because there's a lot of teachers that aren't like let's say I teach Black history. There's a lot of teachers that don't feel comfortable teaching that anyway. So if we ban it, well, I don't want to teach it. Like, so I'm just not, especially now because it's banned, or I'm not going to read this book because I'm not supposed to read it. And just talking about the fact that even though I feel like lawmakers are concerned so much about the teachers, it's the kids. Like, because they're the ones asking the questions. They're the ones that want to know the information. And it would be a disservice to them if I'm just like, well, you know, you can talk about that at home.
Right, some of them kids don't get that.
They don't get that. And what version of it are they getting at home?
Right.
So it's just important for us like to remember like it's because school is not for teachers. It's for the kids. Like,
absolutely.
It's not
their world.
Yeah, this is just my job.
Right.
And I'm just here to teach them, but this is for them to learn and explore and figure things out. So that's what the article is based on. Like, these conversations naturally happen. Like, I don't have to bring it up.
No. You read a book and you ask all these questions. Yeah. And I like how you always take it. You're like, hold on, I gotta write this
down. Yeah, I gotta write this down because this is it's fascinating how they just kind of think like, oh, well, there's
that.
Do you
leave them in the book? What do you do with those?
I usually like take pictures of them, but it is interesting that even this year, like I pulled out a few books and I was like, oh, I gotta take these sticky notes out from last year. but it's just interesting because sometimes I like go back and I'm like, it's interesting how one class of students were focused on this in this book.
Yeah.
But then this year's class is focused on this. So it's just
Do you think it has to do with, I mean, obviously it does, but like where they grew up or like like the majority of the races in your classroom.
Yeah, it could be that or just like what one kid brings up and holds on to, then they all are like, oh yeah. And then sometimes it's like their background knowledge, like we've already learned about something.
Yeah.
And then they see something in a book, they're like, that's like, so I think it all depends on that too.
But I just think it's so great that some of the kids are like, well, we're going to protest.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, you know what that is.
Yeah.
I'm just so proud.
And
of
they
you.
Know
that's
that it
awesome.
Works. Like there's kids who will chanting and I'm like, unfortunately today, this ain't going to work, but I'm glad that you know that that is a way for you to make change, but not in here today.
I know that we've talked before about how they do need to hire more Black or African American teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the percentage of teachers who are Black or, you know, Asian or any other race other than white. Like, I don't know what the percentage is in the school district, but do you think, what are your thoughts on, I mean, this question just popped in my head as you were talking about it and people not being comfortable. I'm sure because a lot of teachers are white and they don't feel comfortable teaching it. So what would you say to that? Just hire more Black teachers?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of that. And then I think also it's important, like if you've decided to be a teacher, like, you have work to do. Like, I don't know everything. Like, I don't just teach black kids. Like, I teach white kids. And so I have to educate myself on, like, who they are, their interests. And, yes, there should definitely be more teachers of color. Like, I think about in my classroom, I had more than just black kids. Like, there were other brown kids. And how cool would it be for them to see teachers that look like them, whether they're Asian or Indian or from Afghanistan or Pakistan. So I think it's important for all kids to see themselves in education. But I also think it's important for non-black teachers or white teachers to also educate themselves and want to do the work.
Because, I mean, I just feel like what if, and I don't know because I'm not a teacher, but if there are white teachers that are just too scared to teach it.
Possibly.
I mean,
yeah.
Because they don't want to do a disservice.
Yeah, or be afraid of what they're going to say. And what Yeah. And I feel like sometimes we don't get the, like, the professional development. Like, we're not doing that in professional development. We're not talking about how to teach Hispanic history.
Well, you just did a presentation, like a webinar. Was it a webinar? A Zoom meeting?
About teaching black history. Yeah. And I always tell people, too, like, I'm also not Hispanic.
Right.
But I teach about them, you know, like, I just have to educate myself.
And that's what I love. Yeah. So for so long, you've heard, well, you can't talk about religion and things like that in school. Mm-hmm. But then I've also heard, unless you teach about it all.
Right.
And so I don't know how many, the year that we worked together, I don't know how many celebrations and holidays that we learned about.
Yeah.
Because it's something I didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot. But they would talk about it. I'm like, well, let's learn about it because that's important to who you are. And it's important for people to know that, whether they're going to celebrate it or not. And once again, they're bringing it up. Like all my mom goes to mosque.
Jewish songs.
So it's just like, and you know, and those students feel like, oh, you know, they're learning a little bit about me, which is important. Like,
My mom wears a head wrap. Yeah. And like they connect, make those connections. And my
mom,
that.
And how they say, my mom looks so beautiful when she wears hijab. Like,
yes.
And you want to honor that and celebrate that because my mom doesn't wear hijab, but I mean, to see someone who looks like your mom is like at school is kind of cool. Like, oh, she looks my mom, you know?
Right. Like so seeing your teacher outside of school. That's And I think it's really cool because my kiddo, my student, when we were talking about one of the books we were reading about skin color, later on, like a week or so later, something like that, he was going around the room and he was like, well, I'm white and Miss James is black. And he looked at one of the kids who was from India and he was like, black?
Yeah.
What? White? And I was like, no. So then I had to go through the whole process of, and that's when I went to the, I'm like, come here. We went to the map. And I'm like, there are certain people from different places. Mm-hmm. And so, And so it's really cool because there are so many connections outside of that classroom that can be made.
Yes.
It's just,
yeah.
I am seriously so thankful for the year that I've had.
Yeah. This is interesting. I don't think it'll ever, I mean, I don't know about going back in the classroom, but like, I don't know if it'll ever look like that. And I was just telling someone too, like, they don't prepare you for that either. They just assume that, like, and when I was in undergrad, like, all my kids, like, I didn't know that I have kids who are not speaking English. Like, it was always like categorized as someone else's job. Like, oh yeah, there'll be English language learners, but if you're not specializing in that,
you also went the extra
the extra
mile to learn sign language so that, I mean, I can stand back and watch you communicate with my kid, and I just let that natural relationship happen because I think that's important.
Yeah.
And he made that connection with you, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you just put in so much extra effort where other people just do not. Right, and I think that's why this year was amazing.
Yeah, and that's why I became a teacher because no one's doing that. Just like, oh, that's someone else's job. But if they're in your room and your care, like, it's your job to keep them safe, not only from harm, but just from other things. Like, it should be a safe place for them to, like, question and ask and, you know, express themselves.
And I don't know how many times you said, I dreamed about them last night. I woke up worrying about them. I'm so worried. Like, what's going to happen? It's I just think that's the mark of such an amazing teacher. Like, I get so sad when I think about how, I'm like, can't you just follow me through all of the years? And I'm sure all the parents say that to you too.
Yeah, it'd be cool to loop. That would be really cool.
And so what are you doing after this year? Because you're not returning to the classroom.
No, I'll be at University at Buffalo working on my PhD and working for the Center for K-12 Black History and helping teachers teach Black history, studying Black history in the classroom. And just I'm interested to see how that all unfolds and works and what my role will maybe be later in schools.
So do you think that you'll ever return to the classroom on...
I don't know. I don't know what on what level. I don't know.
Right, right. That's what I was wondering. Like, from a teaching level or...
I don't know. Maybe it's not, like, elementary. Maybe it's college. I don't know. I don't know what will come of it. But my hope is that I can just teach other educators how to...
And why it's so important.
Yeah, it is
because
very
it
important.
Is. I mean, didn't they just recently pass the, you know, you have to teach Asian history? And, I mean, it's... 2022.
Yeah, we should have been teaching it anyway.
That's so sad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
It is. So, hopefully that'll work out. We'll see.
So, one of the other creators of the Heartland Pod, we kind of sent the outline as far as what we're going to talk about. And one of his questions was, what does it mean to you to be a teacher?
Well, that's a good question. Like years ago, I would have given a one definition, but I really truly think that a teacher is someone who is willing to learn. Like, yes, you're here to give and teach the kids like certain concepts too, but if you're not willing to learn in the process,
right.
Like, what are you really doing? Like, if I was the same teacher I was 7 years ago, then there's a problem.
Right.
Because, I mean,
right.
She wasn't all that great. You know, like, she was learning, like, you get all these kids by yourself, you're like, okay, what am I going to do with you? And are you actually learning? Because it doesn't seem like it.
This is terrifying.
Yes. But I really, truly think that a teacher is someone who's willing to learn. And really, like, loves kids and understands that, you know, they have a big part in their lives. Like, I remember the teachers that were horrible to me.
Yes.
Like, I remember. Yes. I remember you. Like, but I also remember the teachers that were, like, helpful and supportive. So I think it's just a role that you sign up for to really help kids be better people. I mean, yes, they should also be learning, but helping them to be better, and especially in the world that we live in. Just helping to be better citizens and knowing, you know, the laws and what they can and cannot do and how to talk to people and how to treat people and exposing them to different cultures and just kind of just, I always think about it as if, like, what if this is their last time in this classroom? Like, what do I want them to leave with? And so I think it's important for all teachers to think like that. Like, when they leave your classroom, like, what do you want them to take with you? Even if you're an English teacher, like, okay, what do you want them to leave with? Like, what do you want them to know when they leave you? Like, what's going to make you memorable to them? Because they're going to take something from your classroom.
Yes.
But what do you want it to be?
I feel like with COVID and all the teachers who were, I guess, quote unquote, getting in trouble for, you know, not doing their job, they just want to be off, and which nobody has any idea until they're in a classroom.
Right.
That's why anytime I communicate with my kids' teachers, I am already like, listen, I completely understand where you're coming from. You are the, you know what's going on in your classroom. I do not. And so, and then there's sometimes where I was very humbled and I'm like, I'm going to call this teacher. And I'm going to say this. I'm really frustrated. And then I talk to admin or the teacher and I'm like, and I was wrong. And so there are so many people who don't know how much a teacher, it's not just teaching curriculum. And what did you say your dad said it was? Content over curriculum.
And
I think,
like,
that's so great.
Content in different ways too. Because, I mean, there are some kids that come and they're tired and they're hungry. Like, you have to deal with that. Like,
yes.
You can't teach a hungry kid.
No.
You can't teach a tired kid. Like,
no.
And so, like, giving them that space. But, yeah, it's more than just getting the curriculum and giving it to them. Like, it's a lot more than that, because they are human and they bring so much to you at 8:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, come in crying, come in mad, come in happy, come in like, and then they leave you differently too. They may leave you crying, like, you know, and then they just come right back. But yeah, there's so much to deal with, whether they're hurt or trying to figure out how to say something or angry or, you know, you have
to. And it's so cool to see the growth, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
From the very beginning of the year, the kids were like, this kid's never going to stop crying.
Yeah.
Like, ever. All day. Is that time to go home?
Yes. You know? Now he doesn't want to go home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just so wild.
Yeah. It is. It is, yeah, way more than just, here's the curriculum, I'm going to teach you, and then you're going to go home. Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's not the way it works.
No.
And I think a lot of teachers are like, you know, I did my job today. They showed up. They sat on the carpet. When I told them to, they sat on the seat. Mm-hmm. When they told them to, they lined up. When I told them to, they're absolutely super quiet in the halls.
Yeah.
And then that's, so mm-hmm. I did my job. Mm-hmm. I kept them in line.
Yeah.
But it's not, no, I know that it's about creating critical thinkers.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nicholas says all the time, I'm already a dinosaur. This is their world that mm-hmm. I'm just living in. Why yes. am I making decisions for all the people who have no voice yet?
Right.
And if I do, I need to make the best possible decision for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not fair.
Yeah.
That I make decisions that they're going to have to live with, mm-hmm. you know, and that applies to multiple, you know, parts of
right.
your life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it is. It is their world. That is for sure. And I try to foster that in the classroom. Like, you know, even just something as simple as making supplies accessible. Like, I don't want to have to go get you crayons every time. I don't want to get the like.
No.
Make it less work on me. You go get it. And I think this year, like, I was very successful in that. Like, I was like, I'm going to make it so that this is yours.
Which is great.
Yeah.
They knew where everything was.
There was less questions.
Yes.
And less times I had to hear Miss Jay. Like, you
know, yeah.
The less, the better. Go get it.
You know where it is. You can. I'm teaching independence and autonomy. Yes. And I'm also working on all these other things for
yes.
you guys.
Yes. So. Yes. So while I'm helping this kid, you go figure that out. Go find
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
So great. I really enjoyed working with you.
Thanks.
I'm very, very fortunate to have met you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're an awesome sidekick.
Thanks.
Yes. Yes. I'm so glad I got to learn through you and your kiddo. Like, that was just really cool. And then I do truly believe that because our class learned to sign, it just gave those other students a voice. Like, our students who speak Spanish or
yes,
what is it, Hindi or Arabic? Urdu. Like, they were yeah. just more interested. Like, I can I tell you how I say this
yes.
in my language, or I want you to learn my language.
Well, you
now.
Can tell in the beginning of that year, there were a lot of children who did not want to
yes,
talk about
they didn't.
It.
Yes,
and it. I just there's so much growth in that classroom.
Yeah,
just so much. I can't even. Put it all into words, mm-hmm. but just slowly like, oh, well, that's how you say it. You know how I say it at my house?
Yeah.
And then they were more willing yeah. to speak. I remember you saying, I just really hope that they aren't not pushed down, but
yeah,
like
yeah, I hope they never just lose that. Like,
yes.
That's a part of who they are. And I mean, their life may look different. They may have started in different, you know, but that's a part of who they are. So I hope they just never like, feel like they have to be like hush that language,
right?
Because it is, I mean, they like I've asked a lot of them, like, this is how, like, this is what they say at home, and so to have to come to school and feel like maybe I can't say that, and
yeah,
it was really cool to kind of see them like, wait a minute, if she's willing to learn that language and
yeah.
she's teaching it to us,
well, and other things, like, for example, one of the girls in the class who had her hair cut mm-hmm. very short.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize at first, but she kept wearing her mm-hmm. hood because it was so short. And
yeah.
she got very mad when somebody tried to take her hood down.
Yeah.
And you said, well, you know, you and I are both going to, because you wear a hat
yeah.
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And it was cool because you said, you know, just tomorrow we'll come to school and we'll both have our hoods or hats off.
Yeah.
And it was just,
yeah.
So you just jump right in there. I just.
Yeah. It was just really. Because I'm sure that as a kid, that feels different. Like, everyone else here
yes.
has long hair and can do this and do that. And so even the day that it was like cut really, really short when she came back from break.
Yes.
And so we went in the bathroom and said, I'm going to take a picture. Like, I'm going to show this to my barber. And she's like, okay. And I did and came back.
That's
and they were
so, great.
So she didn't have it. They're like, you look like Miss James. You look so beautiful. Like, it was just nice. And since then, she has not.
No.
It, but it's just like taking those moments, like taking the time to just kind of like, I can do that with you. Like, let's do this together.
Yes.
Like, you know, whether it's with their language or their appearance. And Yeah. I'm just so glad that, like, even, like, this idea of what teachers should look like has changed.
Absolutely. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. As a college student, I'm like, how am I going to wear slacks and a button down teaching 5- and 6-year-olds all day long?
Right.
It's not going to work.
I know. Anytime people are like, well, you wear makeup or, like, do anything with your fingernails? I'm like, no.
Nope.
My excuse is I work with young children and
we just show up.
Yeah, right. I dress appropriately, yep. But I mean, I'm going to be coming home looking like a mess, yep. So it doesn't really matter. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. So
one of the things I also really love, I can go on for days about what I love about you, but you come in the next day after, you know, we go home and the next day you're like, so I learned this on TikTok and I follow all these deaf people, these deaf couples and all that stuff. And I think it's so cool because I am of the mindset that I am never the complete all-knowing authority. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, how do you sign this? If it's something I use every day, I will say, this is how you do it. But if not, I'll go, let me look for that just to make sure I'm still signing it correctly. Mm-hmm. But I never act like I am the know-all, you know, end-all, mm-hmm. be-all, whatever, because that's not fair.
Yeah.
And that's not going to foster anybody else's learning.
Right.
If I'm teaching you the wrong sign or something that's somehow changed. So you always kind of keep me on my toes. You're like, I found this out. I'm like, I've never seen that sign before. Or, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's good for the kids to see when you do that, too.
Yes.
Because it is like, you know, you try to, like, what's that word? Sabotage them to, like, force them to do things. But it's, like, really cool. And you're like, you know what? Let me look that up. Or there are different ways. And it just kind of, like, shows them, like, you know, adults have to look things up, too. Yes. And the people that they see as experts... Sometimes, too, like, I still have to do research. I still have to figure, like, or sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
Right. That's, to me, that's saying sorry, even to a child.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel
that's extremely important.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Because I am still human, and mm-hmm. I mess up all the time.
Yeah.
If I accidentally run into you or bump you or whatever, I will apologize. Yeah. One of the little girls one day was like, Miss Tina, you always say ma'am. Like, yes, ma'am. And I'm like, oh, I do. I don't realize that, but I always do.
Yeah, yeah.
Or yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's what like, they ask me. Why do you always ask if you can sit in my chair? Like, because it's your chair. This is your space. Like, I'm invading it, even though you may not ask to sit in my chair.
Right.
I do ask because, and I think it's cool to, like, teach them that early. Like, people should ask to be in your space. Like, it's not theirs. Like, whether you're a kid or not. Like, well, this is your classroom. Like, no, this is your, like, this isn't my furniture. Like, this is
it's
your chair.
So above and beyond what most teachers do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could literally teach an entire year-long course about ways to teach kids things that are not just curriculum.
Yeah.
Like, all about the person that you want them to become. Mm-hmm. You want them to be critical thinkers. You want them to speak up for themselves. Yeah. You want all these things.
Yeah.
And they just don't teach you how to teach that.
No, it's they
just...
don't. That's one of the... You don't take a course in... Yeah, you don't. And so it's just kind of like figure it out like... And then like think about like when I was a kid, like they're spending 8 hours with me a day.
Right.
And like...
I think about that all the time. Yeah. They're with me more than they are with their parents during
and
the week.
And some of it, I know people like to think like... But most of it is not curriculum. It's figuring things out together, laughing. Yes. Like
Problem solving.
Yeah. Like in the last few years, I have really taken the time to laugh with and at my kids because they are funny.
And I love that. I love that you do that. Because they'll say something, you're just like, are you kidding me?
Yes, I cannot believe you said that. And in the past, I'd have been like, nope, I can't laugh at them. This is serious. This is learning time.
Right.
Like,
right.
No, that was
from this time to this time to learn. I will not laugh. You will not joke.
Yeah. And it kind of gives them that space like, oh, she thinks I'm funny. And sometimes it backfires.
Right. Then right. Like, does she now?
Yes.
Pull up my sleeves and just
but
go
then
for it.
Like kind of like a sigh of relief, like, huh. Like, you know, earlier she was upset because we went down the carpet. Now she's laughing with us.
She still loves me.
Yes. She still
and
loves
me. And that's huge.
Me.
That's huge. Like, is she not like gonna like me still? No, I still love you. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I just need you to do something sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
To still be who you are.
Yes.
You just but have to listen sometimes.
Sometimes.
As far as TikTok goes, Nicholas goes, she rules. Like she rules. You are like a TikTok teacher, as the kids call you.
Yeah.
So how has this been helpful for you in celebrating and spreading your message?
Yes, TikTok's turned into a really big deal. I wasn't expecting it to. But it just started at the height of the pandemic teaching on a dual screen. to a bunch of 5-year olds, which I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. But
yes,
just seeing like all the comments and people saying like the kid, like learning loss. I hate that term. There's learning loss and the kids aren't learning anything. And I'm like, that is not, then what am I doing every
right.
day?
Right. I'm like, I'm taking offense to that yes. a lot of it.
And so I just kind of like started recording, like, this is what kids are learning. Like, this is what I'm doing as a teacher. Like,
yeah,
this is new. They didn't teach me this in college. They don't teach you how to teach in a pandemic.
Right. Really didn't think that was going to happen.
Or how to teach, you know, virtually.
Yes.
And so just showing people, like, this is what 5- and 6-year-olds are doing. And sometimes it's how I planned it. And other times we're, you know, singing and getting off Zoom and getting back on. And so it was just really cool. And just, like, just showing other people. It's showing teachers that you're not alone. Like,
right, right.
We're all out here doing it.
I loved your things where they had, like, voiceovers.
Yes.
And how you... What the kids were saying, what you were saying, yes. those were my favorite. I definitely scrolled back before yes. I met you, and I was like, these are hilarious.
I need to go back. I have to come back in a while. And then, like, having parents comment, too, which I wasn't expecting that to be part of the audience.
Oh, that's cool.
Them just kind of saying, like, oh, my gosh, this is what my kid's going through. You know, I feel bad for my kid's teacher. Like, just, you know, they can relate, too, because they're at home with their kids.
Yes.
So it was just really cool to just kind of like bring that joy to and like the silliness of teaching that like kids are still learning, even though this is unfamiliar. And so just sharing that and what I wear, and it's just like another aspect of education, because there's always like sometimes so much negativity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, let's, what are teachers wearing? Like,
were you ever able to meet any of these students in real life? Because I know our teachers during the pandemic.
Yes, I
had
did.
My kids here, and like they came over to drop some things off sometime. Well, two of the teachers did.
Yeah, so my first year teaching kindergarten, it was like done in March. So I spent all that time with them, and then in March we were
okay.
at home.
Oh,
and then
okay.
last year we started on Zoom, were in person, went back on Zoom.
Right.
And then we ended the year together in the classroom
2 years ago.
Yeah, no, last school year. Well, are we counting this year right now?
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know, what year is it?
So this is my third, so it'll be my second year. Yeah, so last school year I did meet them.
Okay.
They were in and out of the classroom.
So you never had a full year?
No, this year was my first full year.
Okay.
Well, first full year teaching kindergarten on first. And before that, I had, yeah, it's a lot.
To think that that's all some of these kids know.
Yes.
Is wild to me.
Yeah. And this is how much they taught me. Like, I learned a lot on Zoom about Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
From a 5-year-old. Like, do you want to change your background, Miss James? I'm like, what?
I know. My kids taught me, too. I'm like, I don't know how to do any of this.
Yeah. Or, like, there was something I was trying to figure out, and they're like, Miss James, okay, you're going to go up. You see the 3 dots, like, just how they were explaining it to me. And I was like, because, I mean, I started that with them. Like,
yes.
Okay, you're going to mute yourself. Because it was hard, like, to give, like, permission. Like, figuring out, okay, how do I give them permission to do both? And, like, just practicing that. So I had, like, made little signs on popsicle
yes,
sticks. Like,
yes,
you're on mute. This is what it looks like. Unmute. Because they're just talking.
It's just
like,
crazy
unmute.
To think all the extra stuff.
Yes. And then just, like, I feel like I was, like, sometimes just kind of, like, entertaining them to keep them on. Because, I mean, I get it.
Right.
I don't want to be here anymore. There's other people around me. Some of my kids were in daycares doing this.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't always at home. And so I had a few kids that were, like, in different places. And you could see, like, people coming by. And they're like, I'm going to ask my other teacher. Like, just trying to figure it out. Or my other teacher said we're supposed to get off. So... Just, like, even like finding scheduling within that, because
yes.
if you're at the day, you're on a different schedule than me. So like trying to, like, during a lesson, a teacher's popping on, I was like, sorry, we're going to recess. Like, is it okay if they leave? And I'm like, yeah. So like emailing them, like, okay, it's
I
fine.
I did not
yeah.
even think about that, because I had my kids all on the main level of the house.
Gotcha.
I didn't let anybody go upstairs, so I wanted to make sure
mm-hmm.
that we kind of kept our school area
yeah.
separate. So I had, like, Bryson in the living room, because I didn't want them all, like, we had to use a kitchen table, but I didn't want Vanny in her spot at the kitchen table
right.
where she normally eats. I just tried to keep it as separate yes. as possible. And I'm like, this is miserable. Y'all got to go back, because this
yes.
is too much.
It was just a lot of, like,
yes.
coordinating and figuring out. Or if a
yeah.
kid had an appointment. Like, you had to give parents, like, they're at home. Like, they're on their parents' schedule, too.
Yes, yes.
So if you set up an appointment for them, just like at school, they leave early, this is the same thing.
Picture day was really chaotic. I'm like, okay, what time do we have to be back? Okay, let's all pack in the car.
So it was just very interesting to figure, like, all that out. And I just wanted people to know, like, we are working our butts off here.
Yes.
Like, the kids, too, and the families.
Right.
And I remember,
you just want to be home. Lazy. You have no idea.
No, and I purposely went in. I was so glad that we had access to the school.
That's
like,
really
I can't,
lucky.
Like, sometimes my internet is not functioning all the time. Just like my kids, like, our internet was going in and out this morning. Like, so you have to deal with that and give them grace there. And I'm so glad we can come in here and do this. So that I could, too, separate home and school.
Like, even 10 years ago, this would not have been possible.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time, how much people take for granted. And, like, all the extra wireless or Wi-Fi that people got and, you know.
Yeah, just accessing it. If kids aren't used to having iPads, like, you know, trying to figure all that out with their family. So it was a lot. But I just wanted people to see, like, nope, still school. Just looks different.
Right.
And we're still having the best time that we can. So,
yeah.
Oh, TikTok.
Yeah. So, as far as getting a hold of you, if someone wants to reach out and schedule something or just they want to give you a shout out, they want to meet you in the hallway and say, hey, I follow you. And you're like, okay. How would you recommend people do that?
Ooh, Instagram is where I am most. It's Queendom Teaching on Instagram, and then Twitter is Queendom Teach In because they couldn't add the G. It was too long.
It was already taken.
Yeah, so
no,
Teaching, Queendom Teaching on Twitter, Queendom Teaching.
So both words together,
on
nothing.
Instagram.
Nothing.
Nope, nothing in between. All that.
Awesome.
If you want to know TikTok, it's Donatello.
You want to spell that?
DawnAhtelloh. Donatello. Nice.
Like the Ninja Turtle.
Like the Ninja Turtle.
But spelled a little differently.
Yes.
I know I said it earlier, but I am very, very appreciative of you taking your entire evening to deal with my children, almost 10 o'clock, still coming downstairs.
Yes. No worries.
Hanging out. I was like, she works with kids. She gets it.
Yeah,
she's
normal.
She's got a god baby. She gets it.
Yep.
Yeah. We're good. Well, I appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.